We're going to continue here. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Just a couple of announcements. Next Sunday, I will be away. I'm taking my boys and a couple other boys out to Camp Caroline for a junior high retreat. I've got a guest speaker by way of video. He's better than I am, so you'll have a great time here. Nathan is going to be sharing his testimony in the service, as well as at the baptism out at Camp Caroline, which will happen at 3 o'clock in the afternoon next Sunday. So I hope you're here for the worship service here, and then I hope you come to the baptism out at Camp Caroline. And if you're still thinking about baptism, please talk to me. Talk to me soon. That would be great. It'd be awesome to have some other people take that step. And if you just want to process it some more, we'd love to have those conversations. I had mentioned to you last week that my friend Ola was going to share his testimony this morning. He sends his apologies. Some family commitments came up and he had to be there. So we'll try that another time. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are here with us. Thank you that you have made us in your image. When we look at the faces of other people, we can see something of God. What an incredible thought that your fingerprints are on each person. I pray that you bring that out this morning. I pray that each person here would have maybe a renewed sense of their value, purpose, the dignity that you give to each person, their worth, because of the way that you have made them and made each one different for purpose. I pray you'd bring these things out this morning. Help us to see one another and to see ourselves a little bit more the way you see us. Would you open your scriptures to us this morning? And would you open us to your scriptures? Would you do your work in us this morning such that there are moments of aha, or I see it. I see Jesus a little bit more clearly. I see his work in my life with new focus and new joy. Lord, would you guide us through this time in such a way that your church is better equipped to live an image-bearing life that reflects Jesus to the world around. Would you have your way among us? In Jesus' name, amen. Picture yourself with the people you love the most. It has to be a group that includes more than your family, okay? So picture yourself with the people you love the most. I want you to see yourself enjoying their company. Whether you're having a games night or sharing a meal or it's a party or a campfire or wherever you are with your people. And it's a group of people. I'm not talking two or three. It's a larger group of the people that you love. And everyone there is getting along. Everyone there loves one another and is genuinely appreciating each other. Everyone there feels safe and feels loved, and you feel loved. There are no unresolved issues. There are no resentments. There's nothing buried under the carpet. It's not like people are getting along because they're not talking about something. Everyone there is there because they are enjoying one another's company. And you can genuinely say, I am so glad each person is here. They have added value to this group. As you look around, you notice that everyone brought something to the group, to the event. Everyone contributed, and it wasn't one person who pulled it all off. And no one brought the same thing. But the event is even better because everyone brought something different. And as you're sitting around doing your thing together, enjoying one another's company, No one has talked about the weather. Okay? Because you actually are enjoying good conversation that's meaningful. It's meaningful to you. You're talking about the things that matter most to you. And people are listening as you talk about the things that matter most to you. And then you're listening to the things that matter most to them. And you're honestly just enjoying one another. And there's no argument brewing, despite the fact that you all have differences of opinion and you see the world differently. There's like this agreement taking place in the air that we can all be different and be together and appreciate one another and the differences we bring to the table. You're learning in the process, in that moment, what it means to actually honor someone else. Has anyone ever showed you that kind of honor? That kind of dignity that they see value in you, and it's not because you're the same as them. That's happening around the circle in this gathering. People are speaking about you with dignity. You can actually see God's fingerprints on other people. You can see God's work in their life, and it's different than his work in your life, and you're so grateful that it's different than his work in your life. And you start to honor one another and their differences. And you notice that people have different perspectives, and instead of it creating an argument, it creates good conversation, and it causes you to appreciate them even more. You realize that it's actually a treasure that people would see the world differently than you see the world. And the joy in the room is tangible. Things just feel right, and no one in the process is dominating. No one in the room is feeling left out. Everyone has been included. No one's being mocked. No one's being teased. No one's being laughed at. People are genuinely being treasured in the process. And it's not that everyone around you has no troubles at all. It's not like everyone has no problems, but their problems have neither been ignored nor have they taken over the group. It's like the group together has found a way to care for, but then also put those things in their proper place. And it adds to the group by caring for one another without it overpowering everything else that's happening. The problems don't become the main thing, but they become an opportunity to love one another more and to grow closer together in the process. And in this time, you're experiencing God. It's like he's there among you in ways you have never experienced by yourself. He has been welcomed into the middle of your event by the love you have shown for one another. By being together and being different together and honoring one another and caring for one another's needs and focusing on the things that are most important. We sometimes call it chess around here. Focusing on the things that matter most. It's awesome. And the others who weren't part of your group at the beginning of this event are starting to notice what's happening among you. And they're drawn by something happening among you in the middle of it. They have this sense of there's something there that I need. There's something there that I want. And they can't quite put their finger on it, but they also can't deny it. And your group is growing because of the work and the presence of God in the middle of it. And others are meeting Jesus because they have found him by the way that we treated one another in the middle of it all. And everyone is learning to delight in God and experiencing him. And I know you're thinking, if only. Or it's not possible outside of heaven or the Garden of Eden. It is actually quite possible. Would you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2? Beginning at verse 42, we're going to put it up on the screen for you as well. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which likely means participating in communion, and to the prayers, as you will see it up there. Your NIV just says prayers, it's plural. Probably meaning liturgical prayers, church service prayers, regular prayers, some sort of ritual or routine of incorporating regular and corporate prayer together. Everyone was filled with awe. And now the NIV says, at the many wonders and signs. There's actually no at in the Greek. It just says, everyone was filled with awe and there were many signs and wonders being performed. In other words, it wasn't simply the signs and wonders that created the sense of awe. It was the bigger thing God was doing in the moment and among the people that created this sense of awe and reverence, and we are experiencing God in this room because of what he is doing. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. This is the word of the Lord. It's possible. It's possible. It happened. It's that possible. The question that I want to ask us is, where would I be in the middle of this? I want you to ask that of yourself. As you look up at this passage right now, where would you be in the middle of it? I'm going to give some handouts. Would you pass those around, please? Okay, I hope everyone's got a handout here by now. Picture this text that I just read to us as sort of like a highway. But you can get on this highway at any point, right? But what I'm asking now and what I want us to process a little bit is, what's your particular on-ramp? I think that there are different ways onto this highway for each one of us. In other words, there are parts of this passage that resonate with you at a deeper level than other parts. As much as you might say and yes and amen to every single part of it, we should, right? But we're all made differently. And I want you to take a look at this passage and go, what's my on-ramp? How has he made me to participate in specific ways in the bigger picture of what he's doing in this passage? So I'm going to unpack each of these a little bit according to what I laid out there in your handout, right? So we're going to start with apostolic teaching, the apostles' teaching. They focused on the apostles' teaching. So I'm just speaking generally, right? I'm not trying to describe this in the most personal possible way for you. I'm just trying to put out some generalizations here to say, does generally this resonate with you in some way? So teaching, scripture, leadership, is that part of your heart and your makeup? Not everyone here thinks scripture is important. That's not what I'm talking about. But are you someone that's like, no, I must have the word. Jesus said, right, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, right? Moses said this, God said to Moses or Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Are you a truth person? Are you like, I am a word person? Is that your on-ramp? And it's not going to be for every single one of you. It's not that you're saying the scriptures are not important, but it's not your particular on-ramp. What about the next one? Benevolence, help, mercy. Look at verses 44 and 45, right? All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Is that your heart? Is your, have you been wired in such a way that you're just like, I must care for people? It's why God put me on the earth. Is that you? Right? So you'd go to passages like Micah 6:8, right? He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord desires of you, to do justice, to love mercy. Right? Are you someone who gravitates to those kinds of things? Where James says, pure religion is this. We look after widows and orphans. The vulnerable. We have to do that. We have to care for one another. Would you resonate deeply with Jesus saying, I desire mercy? He's quoting the Old Testament. I desire mercy more than worship, more than sacrifice, right? Are those scriptures that come to mind for you? Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Would you resonate with Jesus saying, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve? I'm here. I was put on this earth for other people. Is that you? What about the next one? Community building and hospitality. Right? Verses 42 and 46, where it talks about them getting together constantly. The people are together. They're sharing meals together. They're building a community together. Are you someone that emphasizes the church is a family? We're brothers. We're sisters. Brothers and sisters, right? Would you go back to Jesus' words where he prays to the Father, Father, like, I'm here and my prayer is that they would be one. I need to work for unity. My job is to bring people together. We must love one another, Jesus said. You know, he gave us that command. He had all these other commands and he says, oh, but there's one more. You better love one another. Is that you? Would you read 1 Corinthians 13 and go, yeah, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, if I prophesy, but if I don't love, I got nothing. Would you resonate with the love portion? Right? It's not everyone. And it's not saying that, I'm not saying, well, the people who don't resonate with it don't like people. I'm talking about those inner compulsions, right? What about evangelism? No, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. They enjoyed the favor of God and all the people. Are you someone who says, people must know Jesus? People are going to hell if they don't know Jesus. Are you someone who says, we must be salt and light in this earth? We're not doing our job if we're not salt and light. Is that you? You know, would you go to the scriptures and say, well, it's the Great Commission. That is the most important thing Jesus said. And anyone who isn't sharing the gospel is failing in their job. I've heard Christians like that. And some of you are like that. And you're sort of not wrong. Right? I'll get there in a minute. But you would go to the Great Commission. It's the last thing Jesus says, they tell us. Right? What's more important than the last thing Jesus says? You will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, right? Acts 1:8. Right? That's your heartbeat. You were put here to make sure other people know Jesus. Right? Some of you, is it signs and wonders? That's in this passage too. Is it the supernatural, the healings, the miracles, the prophecies? And you're going, Jesus said we would do greater works. It's our job to make sure that Jesus doesn't look wrong. Do you resonate with that? Are you someone who says, Lord, we have to see you at work in power? Do you quote Paul who says, my gospel did not come in word only, but in power? In demonstration of the Spirit and power. Would you go to Acts where Peter's shadow heals the sick, Paul's handkerchiefs heal the sick? Would you go to Jesus who commands his disciples, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons? You're like, well, we got to have that or Jesus is going to look bad, right? Is that you? Are you someone who says, oh, it's the worship and the prayer in this passage? We have to love God first. That's the first commandment, Jesus says, right? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you're going to say to the rest of us, we're going to worship for all of eternity, right? You were made to worship. God exists in endless worship. That's our first job, isn't it? And we must pray. We must know him. And you probably really emphasize abiding too. Abide in the vine. You got to know him, right? Pray without ceasing. Do not forsake the gathering of believers, right? So where's your on-ramp? Which one is it for you? What I want you to do now is take a look at those sheets, take a look at the passage. You see there are little blank lines beside each one. I want you to number them in order of importance to you. Not to Ben, and not according to the order in Scripture. I don't think that the order of how it shows up in Scripture has anything to do with the order of importance. This is not a trick question. There is no wrong answer. I am trying to help you see how God has made you. So start with the one or two that you resonate the most with, and then maybe work your way even from top to bottom and then bottom to the middle so that you figure out the middle ones later. There's probably one or two that you're like, yes, that is me. And there are one or two where you're like, meh, I'm sure it's important. I'm glad there are other people doing it. It's not really, it doesn't resonate with something deep in me. You're not wrong. It's okay. I bless you. I bless you to have very different answers than mine. I certainly hope you do or we're all in trouble. Right? I just want to help you see how God has made you. So will you take a few minutes just to write, number one, this is the one that's sort of most important to me. Number two, next most important, find six. If you can end up finding, you know, three and four, so be it. But you got a few minutes to do this. Go. Anyone need more time? Yes? No? No? Good? All right. Well done. I'm tempted to collect those. I would love to know, and I think maybe we'll do some sort of spiritual gifts inventory at another time. This is just sort of a tool to get you to understand yourself a little bit more right now. But please keep it. I would, like I said, I would love to see some of yours. Maybe I'll text you and say, send me a picture or something. But for now, do you see why God has made us all different? If you're different than me, I need you, right? My gifts are not more important than yours. The way that God has made us in terms of like the things that you gravitate towards, they're linked to your values. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but you see the world through the gifts that God has given you, which are attached to the things that you value the most. I share that to say that is also your default grid for evaluating other people. And that is really important when it comes to how we evaluate a church, how we evaluate the activities in a church, how we evaluate the direction of a church, etc. Because we see what's happening through the grid of our gifts and our values. I need you to start recognizing that this happens, because sometimes we end up talking past each other and not realizing that God has put these different gifts in the church, these different ways of viewing it, precisely so that we can complement where other parts are weak. The parts that you put, where you put numbers 5 and 6 are your places of probably either your greatest weakness or your greatest need, whether personally or corporately. Right? We don't just need others to operate at all. We need to be aware both that we have gifts that we need to use to bless others, but we also need to be aware that we need others' gifts instead of trying to create everyone in our own image. right? This is going to be really important for us going forward. I want to do this as sort of a side note. There are two passages that very much overlap with what we've just read here, and they're not in Acts. But they're talking about how God has put the church together, and he's put the church together in a certain way. The first one is Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, where Paul says, God has given the church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors. Pastors are shepherds. That's what that word means, actually. So God has given the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, in other words, people who care for other people, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And if you read this passage with that one in mind, you would see there's quite a bit of overlap there. The second one is in 1 Corinthians 12, where also very much overlapping. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 says, God has appointed in the church first the apostles, second the prophets, third the teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, in other words, people who help the thing continue to run properly and look after one another, and various kinds of tongues. It would be worth spending some time looking at those passages. We have highlighted them a couple of times, particularly in our congregational meetings lately, where we've said the Lord keeps putting these passages and these topics on our minds as leadership a lot. We're processing a lot. So that's why I draw our attention to it now. It's worth going back to Scripture to say, what was your blueprint, God? And are there places where maybe we don't have a great overlap between our structure and your structure? That's a conversation for another time, but I mention it as sort of a side note. Let's get back to Acts chapter 2. How did they arrive at this experience? How did they arrive at this? How did we get here? I'm asking us that because I'd sure like to know how to get there. Because I'd like to live in this. Because I think there's some sort of an invitation for us. I think that all of Scripture is livable, but especially this one. How did they get to Acts 2:42? Well, can I suggest to you it starts at Acts chapter 1, verse 1? This is the culmination of a series of events. This is the culmination of what Jesus started and entrusted to some apostles who are told, you're going to have to wait and pray for the experience of the Holy Spirit and power and be ready to share what God does in your life. And they get together and they pray and they wait. And they have to put some things together, things in order. And then there's this moment where the Spirit comes. And Scripture is fulfilled and someone stands up to speak and say, this is what God is doing among us. And people recognize God at work and say, yes, I'm in. Right? That's Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, right before this description. So how did they get there? They got there through Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. And there's one other thing. Do you notice that everyone is participating in some way? No one rode on someone else's shoulders. No one got dragged into this. This is active participation in something God is doing. Do you see that? Just take a moment and just read over the passage. They
devoted themselves to these things. How did they get there? They got there through Acts 1 and 2. They got there by joining with others in participating and pursuing what the Holy Spirit was doing. They started using the gifts that God had given them according to the ways God had made them. Their on-ramp was whatever their number one was on the list. What's on your list? What's your number one? They started there, I will suggest to you, because that's how God made them. But they started there and joined together with people who had a different number one, because that's what God was doing, because that's the way that God had designed it. It's the gifts working together through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we end Acts chapter 2, two pieces of homework. I have repeated this over and over again because I'm doing it myself, but I believe we are called to pray into the gap between what the people and the church experienced in Acts 1 and 2 and our current experience of life with the Spirit and life in the church look like. If you see and are experiencing that gap between what you see in the scriptures and what we're currently experiencing in our life, that is a call to prayer. Keep praying until God starts closing that gap in your life and in our life, our lives together. That's part one of homework. Part two of homework is you need to know your gifts. I've given you one tool. Maybe you struggled with it. It's not for everyone. It's certainly not complete. I'm just doing big picture groupings, right? There are lots of other spiritual gifts. There are lots more than are listed in scripture, actually, I think. But anyway, I wasn't trying to capture everything. But you need to know your gifts. You need to know your gifts because they're your on-ramp to a full and rich life with the Holy Spirit. It's part of how God designed you to enjoy life with him, is to do what he made you to do with him. And it's not just for you, it's for everyone else in the room. He made you the way you are for someone over here. Right? We need one another's gifts, and you need to know what they are so you can find ways to join God in what he's doing, take his invitation, and bless others in the process. And if you don't know what they are, that should be a high priority in your prayer life. Because this is one of the ways that God is inviting you to grow in your walk with him. And the more that you do that, the more that you will appreciate the church as a whole, the more that you will appreciate the scriptures, the more that you understand spiritual gifts, the more that the book of Acts will come alive, the more that the letters will come alive, the more that you will understand what God is actually doing in the world and how he invites you into it. So pray into the gap and pray into the gifts. I'm going to offer you a moment of just silence, quiet, either reflection or listening. Lord, what is it that you want to say to me here and now? And then I'll close in prayer in a moment. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that you share yourself with us. Thank you that you love your kids so much that you share not only yourself, but you bless each one of us with something that'll draw us closer to you and actually be a benefit to the world around us, to the people we love, to the people we don't even know yet. Lord, I pray for a clarity and a blessing as people process some for the first time. How have I been made? What's the Lord inviting me to do? And how can I join him? Or would you guide those prayers? Would you give moments of aha? Would you give good counselors and wisdom to those who can come alongside and help us see the ways that you've made us? So often we're blind to ourselves, or we take things for granted, or we just assume that everyone does it this way or sees the world that way. Lord, I pray for a clarity in the good ways that you have designed us, so that we could know you well, serve you well, bless others, but also so that we could see this gap closed. We see incredible things in these scriptures. And Lord, some of us see it through a teaching and a truth lens. And I pray that you'd bless those. Others see these things through this people lens of help, caring for people. Others see it through the community lens of being a family. And others see it through the lens of sharing good news with the world. And others want to see power and signs. And others want to enter into intimate worship. And Lord, there are so many different ways you have made us. And I pray that you would bring all of these things to greater expression among us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Would you identify the things that get in the way? And would you guide us in saying yes to what you are doing? Lord, we want to see your purposes go forward in this world, in this church, in our lives personally. Would you give us the grace and the help to see where you're at work, to see how you've made us, to pray into the pursuit, and to enjoy you in the process. In Jesus' name, amen. These guys usually do this song when they're up here, and it's been a very appropriate one for the book of Acts, so it's a great song to choose. Let's sing Build Your Kingdom Here, right? Let's worship. Would you do me a favor and take a picture of your sheet? I don't want you to lose it, and I might ask you for it at some point in conversation, right? Especially council. Please, council members, make sure you keep these, because we need to have conversations about this. But I hope that this provides some good conversation for you the next time that you are talking to people in the church. If you have questions about this, let's have those conversations. This is one of God's invitations to grow, and grow according to the way that you are made, right? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Thanks for being here, friends. Have a great week.